You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Happy Monday, everyone. Hope it's going great for you on this sunny 50-degree day in eastern Iowa. Mark Dukes with you here in the next hour, along with Isaac Elzinga, Scott Unash, on golf course somewhere down south. He'll be back tomorrow. The gang will be all back together in one form anyway. But pleased to have you join us today. Please weigh in on anything that's on your mind on the text line 319-366-1600, Isaac on this side of the glass, so to speak, rather than his normal position as producer. He's doing double duty today. Hello, my man.
How are you doing?
Good.
It was a good weekend of sports. Some fun college basketball. I'm sure we'll get into it.
I meant to check in on the UFL and Iowa connections, and I never got that done.
I think I tuned in for about 5 minutes and then got distracted by something else going on in my apartment and couldn't tell you who was playing, what the score was. Mm-hmm. Don't remember anything about it.
A lot going on for sure. The NCAA tournament's winding to conclusions. The NCAA men's Final Four set. All the number one seeds made it. That could be the case in the women's field tonight as well. And South Carolina and UCLA already have made the Final Four. Number one seeds USC and Texas trying to beat UConn and TCU respectively tonight. That will complete the women's Final Four. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the best wrestler in the country. And we will talk about baseball equipment. The new rage coming to the forefront over the weekend. New bats, relatively new bats, that are doing some damage in some parks in Major League Baseball. All that and a little bit more. The Emerald Hideaway scoreboard will be coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's start with the NCAA men's tournament, Isaac. And as I mentioned, all the number one seeds. Brackets should be good. Everybody's brackets, unless you took some flyers. I know Scott had St. John's going to the Final Four. How about you?
Let's see. I think I did have Michigan State and I had Kentucky in my Final Four as well, but I did have Duke and Florida in my championship game.
I was fortunate to get all four Final Four participants in, and it was fun watching all the games. Some were maybe not as competitive as others. The Houston-Tennessee game was about a 20-point game, and Houston's defense was incredible. But for my money, Isaac, I think Duke was the most impressive. 85-65 over Alabama, an Alabama team, number one scoring team in the nation. The Tide had scored 113 points against BYU. Everybody thought this was going to be a game in the 90s, 100s. Man, Duke looked good.
Yeah, I think Duke looks like the probably the best team in the tournament. No disrespect to Auburn or Florida or any of those other teams in there still, but man, they just look so complete. And a lot of it has to do with Cooper Flagg. Obviously, he's a phenomenal player. But I think they're going to have like three lottery picks. I think they have three lottery picks on this team. Like, they are just loaded with talent. They all have sort of a role and a different sort of position. They fill a position of need that they fill as far as on the court sort of duties. And they just look absolutely complete. They can win various different ways. Like, obviously, the Houston matchup is going to be a little bit more rugged than the Alabama game was for them. But I think that's still a game they can win because they have so much versatility on the court. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Duke, I agree. I think they looked phenomenal over the weekend.
Florida and Auburn, it's going to be a SEC matchup. Florida dispatched Texas Tech 84-79. And it's a really good Florida team. And obviously, Florida and Auburn have met this season. Auburn, coached by Bruce Pearl, the former Iowa assistant, He was alongside Tom Davis, and I hate to bring up bad memories for Iowa fans. That 1987 run that was ended in the Elite Eight against UNLV, Bruce Pearl, an assistant to Tom Davis, along with Rudy Washington and Gary Close. They were Tom's assistants, but Bruce has come a long ways, and he won a national Division II title at Southern Indiana, spent some time at Tennessee and whatnot, had some pretty good success. He's got a little – there was a time where nobody wanted Bruce Pearl because of his the recruiting situation with Illinois' Jimmy Collins over Deion Thomas. And I wouldn't say he was blackballed from the profession for a while, but there were some residual effects from that particular episode back in 1988 or 89. But nevertheless, Bruce is 65 now. He's full of energy, got a great team. The Jani Broome situation yesterday where he's hurt midway through the second half, looked like a hyperextended elbow. I don't know for sure. I've had one in high school. I was in a sling for a couple days. No, he came back on the court, 5 minutes left in the game, hit a three, and we'll see how he is this weekend, but he's a heck of a player, and I agree with you, Isaac. I think Duke looks like the best team right now, but I think you can go through these other three and make a case.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Houston can ugly a game up like no other team in the tournament can right now. So I think if Houston's able to really just sort of lean into their strengths on defense and offensive rebounding, just really tough play, I think they can certainly knock off Duke. I would also say, like, it's a single elimination tournament. So any one individual game, these are all four really awesome, teams.
They were There's one a reason season. They're there.
Yeah, there's yeah. They're one seeds for a reason. All season long, everyone had said this is the best crop or is going to be the best crop of one seeds or the top end that we've had in a while in the NCAA tournament. That was obviously true as far as we see all four one seeds making it to the Final Four. So I'm not saying it's a done deal that Duke's going to win it or anything, because single elimination, one of these teams, you have one or two players really hot for a night or a game, anything can happen.
It's interesting coaching dynamics, too, because if you got a couple of veterans in Pearl and Calvin Sampson at Houston, then you got a couple of younger guys like John Schreier at Duke and Todd Golden at Florida. That's an interesting dynamic in the Final Four, too. A lot of comments on the text line already in the first few minutes of our show. And 5251 weighing in right at the outset. What a sad state of affairs is the college sports world for our number one seeds. No Cinderellas, just money ruling everything.
I don't want to overreact to 1 year, has been my sort of takeaway so far. I know this year it's been a lot of chalk, which is, I think, not as fun for maybe specifically Iowa fans, just because Iowa's not in the tournament. You kind of cheer for the underdog, stuff like that. I don't want to overreact to 1 year. If this happens 2-3 years in a row, we don't see any sort of real Cinderellas, then I'd say we've got a problem. But I'd say 1 year is too small of a sample size to rule everything else out that we've seen recently. I do think the sort of low and mid-major Cinderellas are going to be fewer and far between. The sort of Cinderellas we're going to see, I think, is going to be more akin to like Arkansas this year, where it's a power Cinderella, but they're Cinderella in seed only, not in sort of situation. It's going to come from a power conference. That's kind of how I see it playing out in the future. But I do think the low and mid-major sort of Cinderellas are going to be fewer and far between.
Yeah, a team like Houston, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Houston only has one or two guys from the portal this year. Kelvin Sampson pretty much kept his team together, and Michigan State, reaching the Elite Eight, pretty much the same. These guys have been in the program by and large. So there's different ways to go about it. Not that those guys, you know, aren't getting their NIL money. And to Cyclone Tim's point, I sure wish Iowa and Iowa State had more NIL money. That is all. Hello, Tim.
I am interested to see. I've seen the numbers thrown out now, and they are increasing with the revenue sharing, I guess is how I'll put it. It seems like with the assumed introduction of revenue sharing and the House settlement this summer, the presumed sort of result of that, the asking prices have seemed to be a lot bigger this year than they had been previously. Or the reported asking. Again, none of this is public info, so we can't really confirm anything, but the reported asking prices seem significantly bigger.
Cajun Troy. Hello, Troy. I picked all four number one seeds. I'm in eighth place. The seven ahead of me all picked Duke to win the championship. I pick Houston. I'm with you, Troy. I pick Houston, too. I'm not as confident as I was, but good luck to you, Troy. Yeah, the Duke-Houston game, I don't know. I wouldn't call it the national championship game, but two very interesting teams, two different teams, I think. Houston capable of scoring, but they obviously they hang their head on defense.
Yeah, it'll be a really, really fun matchup. Again, I'm interested to see how Duke sort of adapts to Houston style of play because it's such a different style of play compared to Alabama. You go from sort of one extreme, I guess you could say, to the other extreme. Not that Houston's sort of dead set on that way. They have some versatility, like you said. But you do go from one sort of really three-heavy, fast-paced sort of play in Alabama to Houston, who, again, likes to ugly a game up, knows their sort of identity in defense and physicality. So I think that could be a really, I don't want to say tough game plan, but it's hard to go from one extreme to the other like that.
Yeah. 316 on the gym class. Again, Mark Dukes alongside Isaac Elzinga today and 5251 about the Bruce Pearl connection with Jimmy Collins and that flap that happened getting on 40 years ago. That was a pre-internet, quote-unquote, viral moment. And it really was. That filled the papers when newspapers were printed every day. It was a well-covered story. I remember it well. And, again, that people shied away from Bruce Pearl for a while. But then he got back in with Tennessee, and the rest is history. And, from my standpoint, I think it'd be great if he wanted. He didn't win in his previous trip, obviously, but he's got a nice team, and Jani Broome's health is the main thing, I think, right now.
Yeah, I mean, you have an impact player like that injured. That's always going to be the sort of lead concern, I guess, for the squad, but they've shown they're the number one overall seed for a reason. We keep talking about Duke being looking like the best team right now, but Auburn is still the number one overall seed, as Bruce Pearl reminded people, in fact, too. So they're super talented. Florida came back from, I don't want to say certain defeat, but man, that game was looking real dicey for them for a while, and they came back to win that against Texas Tech. So it's a tough matchup for them. I'm obviously going to be pulling for Florida just because that was my national champion pick, but it should be a fun matchup, I think.
People commenting on the text line about NIL in general, and I think there's a split camp in NIL. Some people say, hey, let the kids get what they can. Others are saying the line has been crossed, so to speak. And 9357 commenting that college players just took a page from the NBA. They have a if you can't beat them, join them mentality. College players don't even have to force their way out of a contract. They just go. But, you know, there are those who say, look at Kevin Willard at Maryland, the Maryland head coach who up and left for Villanova. And the next thing you know, you're going to have everybody on the Maryland roster in the portal or in a couple cases declaring for the NBA draft. College players and head coaches are different in some respects, but I think a lot of people feel like not really. Coaches leaving them high and dry. Players, go get yours.
Yeah, I guess I would lean more in that camp. I'm not going to fault the players for taking advantage of the sort of system that they have right now. I'm going to blame the system being broken, I guess is the best way to put it. I don't think these players are necessarily even going to a team, if you can't beat them, join a mentality. They're just going, this team can offer me significantly amount more money than this other team can. When you look at like the mid-majors transferring to power schools, that's kind of how I envision it. Again, I'm not going to blame the player because the system is so broken right now that it's hard for me to blame an 18, 19-year-old kid who's getting, you know, messages from agents and parents saying you should go here, you should go here. They're still trying to learn. They don't know how to navigate this. I wouldn't know how to navigate it. I'm 25. I have no clue what I would do in that situation. So I would say the system is more broken than what the players are doing. I would like to see maybe a little bit more loyalty on the players' part. But I'm not going to fault them for going someplace where they can get an extra $1 million compared to the place they're at before.
That's the thing. What used to be loyalty is now loyalty to yourself. If I'm a player, I have to look. If I'm Josh Dix in Kansas and or Indiana or anybody else out there is offering $2 million to play the game of basketball, if those reports are accurate, $2 million. How loyal are you going to be? And frankly, I think players sign with the coach more than they sign with the school. It's not the school, and I'm not sure it ever has been. Why has every player on the Iowa roster under Fran McCaffrey entered the portal? Because if they were loyal to Iowa, they'd still plan on playing at Iowa. They're loyal to the coach. And, you know, if I'm being offered $2 million, I'm going to be pretty loyal to the bank.
Yeah, especially when you're a guy who is maybe at best going to be a fringe NBA guy. Like, you got to cash in while you can. I'm not going to blame him. Like, if I'm getting those offers, that's life-changing money that I got to cash in at this moment because I don't know if I'm going to have that later on. So, again, the system is broken. The NCAA, they deserve a lot of the blame for what's going on just because they're so slow to act. But everyone, we've been over it 1,000 times this point.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to blame a 19, 20-year-old kid for a system that was just utterly broken when they entered it. Again, I don't disagree. I would like to see some players stick around a little bit more. But it's the reality of the situation right now. I do think we're going to get to the point where contracts become more common, where players just straight up sign for schools for 3 years. I believe like 20 years ago, I don't know, a long time ago, Mike Leach, I believe mm-hmm. he talked about something along those lines as far as having players sign to contracts to schools for like 3 years, and you have another sort of transfer year available to you. So I do think we'll have contracts to schools eventually between these players, but right now that's not where we are.
There's the thought out there, and I think Kevin Lehman, our basketball guest off the glass segment every Thursday, I think he's in that camp that mid-majors are the ones that are going to suffer the most because it is a farm system for the major colleges, or it's becoming that. And I wish I had written down the person who made this comment because I believe in attribution. But the idea was advanced to if a major, let's say UConn, goes to and plucks a player from Bradley, then Bradley, UConn's going to have to pay Bradley a certain amount of money.
That's how they do it in soccer.
Is that right?
Yes, that's how you do it in soccer. You say, say Manchester United wanted to buy, Mbappe from Real Madrid. You go to Real Madrid, say, we will give you $150 million to have Mbappe play for our team. Then you have personal negotiations with Mbappe as far as here's your contract per your salary and stuff, but you have to pay as long as Mbappe or the soccer player is under contract with that team, you have to pay X amount of money to get them sort of released. So that's exactly how it works in soccer.
Well, that's professional, though.
It is professional, yeah.
This is college. Well, okay, yeah. It's all professional.
Yeah, at this point, again, the NCAA were so slow to sort of drop this facade of amateurism. I think that's kind of why we're in the situation we are right now.
It's not. It wasn't a bad idea, I thought. I haven't thought it all the way through, but for a major college to keep poaching mid-majors, the same token, the players at the mid-majors are the ones going into the portal. So who's to fault, you know? I'm not sure about that, but it's interesting. The Final Four is interesting. We'll get to that. That'll come up Saturday. The semi-national semifinals will be played, and then the championship on Monday. The women's bracket will be completed tonight. UConn against USC without Juju Watkins. Paige Beckers with just an incredible game. 40 points over the weekend. She's all that. And then Texas and TCU. TCU with Haley Van Lith, who is leading her third team into a deep tournament run. That'll be an interesting interstate matchup. So coming down to the end for the women as well.
Yeah, a little bit more expected as far as chalk on the women's bracket, just because that's how it's been historically. I'm really, really disappointed Juju's injured. I think the UConn-USC matchup would have been really, really good. Not that it's going to be bad now, but I think UConn's like a 12-point favorite. They were in that range when I looked, so it's a little bit heavy on the UConn side. Just unfortunate that happened. I can't do anything about it. TCU has been a fun story, I think, for the women, because they don't really have any sort of history as far as being in this moment, so it's been fun to see them have a deep tournament run. Also, Haley Van Lith, I'm happy to see her success after a really, really bad season with LSU and see her transfer to TCU and have a, again, talk her way. I think I looked at some mock drafts. She was back in the first round of the WNBA mock draft. So I'm happy to see her success.
Speaking of LSU, and since Cajun Troy is all aboard today on today's show, Kim Mulkey made a little bit of headlines. Her team was ousted from the tournament. And during her news conference afterwards, she kind of had a little fun with the student reporter who asked about the disappointment of LSU not advancing further. And Mulkey replied in so many words, "How many Final Fours have you played in?" And the reporter said, "None." And Mulkey kind of smiled, her little smile, and said, "Okay, you must be a pretty decent player," or something like that. So I think Mulkey is, she's brought it on herself. She's easy, she's an easy target. Anything she says is going to be, you know, out there, and this, and that was the case, you know?
Yeah, I don't, there's a lot of similarities between her and Dan Hurley, I think, in the way they interact with the media and their responses as far as snarkiness goes. Just, I don't know. I don't love answers like that, but I think it does something for her brand. So if the end, LSU fans seem to respond positively to it. So I guess if you're playing to your fan base, again, just like Dan Hurley plays to his fan base at UConn, UConn fans love it when he goes ballistic. I guess who am I to knock it if it does good things for your university and your program?
Hurley doesn't dress as flamboyantly.
No, not quite. He's got ways to go there.
Yeah. 3:28 on the gym class today. Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga with you today. Scott Unash will be with us again tomorrow. We'll talk with Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated golf writer, as we near the Masters tournament in about, a week from this Thursday. The Masters will take place, a great event. If you're a golfer or not, we'll see what Bob has to say about this year's tournament. Local programming tonight, as we are the Eastern Iowa quarter home of the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs on the road playing the Athletics tonight. We'll bring that to you, 8:30 pregame right here on KGYM. And all the Cub broadcasts this year sponsored by Fleming Irrigation. All right, now we want to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard before our first break. And Emo's located out there on First Avenue East, and a great place to catch a drink, catch a meal, meet up with your friends. Great American restaurant, great people, great environment. Stop into the Emo's. On the scoreboard today, the Cedar Rapids Colonels announced their opening day roster today. It includes nine of the Twins' top 30 prospects, including last year's first-round draft pick Kalen Culpepper out of Kansas State. Former Iowa pitcher Ty Langenberg also will start the season with the Colonels, who open Midwest League play this weekend at Wisconsin. New Iowa basketball coach Ben McCollum got a piece of good news over the weekend as 6'8" Cooper Koch withdrew his name from the portal and said he would return to the Hawkeyes. Iowa State basketball has landed another player out of the portal, the third. He is 6'11" Blake Buchanan, who averaged 5 points and 5 rebounds for Virginia last season. Iowa's baseball team stands tied with UCLA for the Big Ten lead, each with 10-2 records. The Hawkeyes have a game against Bradley tomorrow before a conference weekend series at Northwestern. And Isaac, Iowa picked up a couple wrestlers from the portal, both from the Little Rock program. They are Nasser Bailey and Jordan Williams, both former NCAA qualifiers.
Yeah, a couple of good gets. They are going to fill positions of need, probably 141, 149 for them. Iowa's certainly not done. I think they're still going to get a 125 guy. I think they're probably still targeting, at least they might be getting someone for 157 because Estrada can redshirt because he burned his this year with Ja'Cory out so often. And then I think they're going to get a 97. So still not done, but those are two really good gets for them. Fill pretty solid gaps in their lineup.
Sounds good. We're going to get to a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk torpedoes and a truly outstanding wrestler who was honored today. Back after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
A fairly sunny day for us out there today that'll allow for those temperatures to work their way on up into those lower 50s throughout this afternoon and breezy northwesterly winds. Then overnight tonight, skies will be remaining clear with lows dropping into those lower 30s. And for your Tuesday, we will see more clouds increasing throughout the day with chances for showers and thunderstorms by the late afternoon and early evening. Some of these showers and thunderstorms may be on the stronger side, with the main threat being hail and gusty winds, as well as an isolated tornado. Otherwise, these showers and thunderstorms will likely continue well into our day for Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Garrett Hyde, and that was a check of your latest Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
It's truck month, and Dairy Ford is here for you.
With a huge selection of Mavericks, Rangers, F-150s, and Super Duties.
Here for you!
With many years of experience serving Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, and the corridor.
Here for you with complimentary pickup and delivery and mobile service.
If you are looking for a quick, enjoyable purchase experience with our best price up front, visit us today and see how Dairy Ford is here for you.
It's truck month at Dairy Ford in Iowa City or online at DairyFord.com.
Hi, everyone. Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quick Star. And right now, going on at Quick Star, Nature's Touch Ice Cream. It is on sale. Get 1.5 quarts of Nature's Touch Ice Cream for $2.99. That's all varieties, assorted varieties, whichever delicious flavor you choose. Limit two. Again, 1.5 quarts of Nature's Touch ice cream for $2.99, limit two. Also going on right now, bananas, jumbo onions, or baking potatoes, 29 cents per pound, bulk produce only, limit 10 pounds. Also Nature's Touch cream cheese, 8-ounce packages, 99 cents, limit five, and 12-ounce frappes, smoothies, and cold brews, $1.49, assorted varieties, and $1 off all other sizes. Take advantage of all those great deals going on right now at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long. Proudly presented by Fleming Irrigation. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMradio.com for scheduled games.
Quarterback Jordan Love isn't just on Green Bay's team. He's also on the American Family Insurance team. Because like us, he believes in dreaming fearlessly.
Just chase your dreams and don't let nobody hold you back.
And we help protect those dreams with the right coverage so you can
dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Who's cutting down the nets this year? Get in on all the tournament action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest upsets to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Welcome back. 3:35 here on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes, Isaac Alzinga with you today. And coming up at 4 o'clock, Spencer on Sports. He will share his misery of the Milwaukee Brewers, as I will probably before the hour's out on my Minnesota Twins. But nevertheless, please catch Spencer at 4. And if you missed the Todd Brommelkamp show this morning, you can access that. That podcast available at KGYMradio.com. Today it was announced, Isaac, that the... Well, the winner of the Hodge Trophy that goes to the most outstanding wrestler in college wrestling, that winner was announced today. He is Wyatt Hendrickson, the Oklahoma State heavyweight, who dramatically defeated Gable Steveson in the NCAA tournament. He completed the 27-0 season, 13 pins, 8 technical falls, and as I understand it, this award goes to the wrestler who they consider record dominance and sportsmanship. By the way, the 1998 winner, our own Mark Ironside, weighed in today. And he fully supports it. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's the right call. Not only do they, like you said, consider as far as like method of winning with pins, bonus rate, stuff like that, but also the opponents faced. And I think when you consider the sort of style he won, the guys he had to beat to get to that sort of moment that he did, I think he was a deserved winner. I think he deserved it more than Sturaci. I think maybe you could make a solid argument for Messenbrink, just because Messenbrink was also outstanding as far as method of victory all season long. I have no issue with Hendrickson winning it. I think you go out there and beat an Olympic champion. You go out there, beat an NCAA champion from the year before in the semifinals. I think he deserved it 100%. You get no disagreement from me.
Hendrickson got 30 of the 59 first-place votes. Sturaci got 26, and Messenbrink got 3. So it was really between Hendrickson and Sturaci, according to the voters, and you have to wonder if Hendrickson had not beaten Gable Steveson, whether he would have won it, and whether it would have went to Sturaci, who is not as dominant as Hendrickson during the year, or maybe it would have been Gable Steveson.
I think, again, you asked me this before the show. I honestly don't know who would have won it. I would lean Sturaci, just seeing how close the voting was, like you mentioned there. I think Sturaci would have gotten it just because everyone expected Gable Steveson to run through the heavyweight division. Mm-hmm. I had him chalked up as the national champion in February. Like, I thought for sure he was going to win There's no way anyone was going to be able to beat him. Despite how good I knew that Kirkfleet was, I knew how good Hendrickson was. I just didn't see anyone beating him. So I think that kind of worked against him in that way. So I think Starace maybe would have won it. I don't know. Starace, he's obviously, he wins a lot. He's a very, very good wrestler. He just doesn't get pins, doesn't have a lot of techs, doesn't have a lot of majors. Like, he's just not as, he doesn't run up the scoreboard or exhaust the scoreboard, as Kennedy likes to say. So I don't know. I he's not my sort of, he's not super fun to watch like some of the other wrestlers that you mentioned there.
Well deserved, I think, nevertheless, for Wyatt Hendrickson. Last year was
Aaron Brooks from Penn State.
Yep. Okay. Despite the fact Starace won his fourth national title.
Brooks also won four national titles.
That's true.
It was his year, too. So.
Yeah.
Again, that brings in the question I asked before. Like, is this a one? Do you take this on a year-by-year? Like, do you take into account the previous 4 years for Starace and say, well, he was a five-time national champion. That's got to, you know, account for something. Or is it just what he did this year? Do you count to what he accomplished this season as far as the opponents faced? I don't know. It's a tough question. I don't mean to disrespect Starace. I think he's obviously fantastic. He's going to be a great freestyle wrestler. Just not my sort of, he's not incredibly fun to watch compared to some of the other guys.
Yeah, just hard to argue with what Hendrickson did, especially considering what he did in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, more than 80% of his matches, bonus point victories, I mean, on and on and on. And by all impressions, stand-up guy, terrific guy, Air Force lieutenant.
Yeah, I mean, again, yeah, like you said, a bunch of bonus points. And I would say heavyweight was the toughest division this year. I think you'd make a really strong case as far as talent goes, up and down. Really, really loaded division with talent. So, I don't know, just opponents faced, I think, that's where the biggest edge is for him.
All right, let's get to I wouldn't say it's the news of the weekend, but a lot of talk over the weekend about the bats that some of the Yankees used against the Milwaukee Brewers to put up 36 runs and hit 15 home runs in 3 games. I'm talking about what's been called the torpedo bats. They are bats that are customized kind of analytically by bat companies, and there's several bat companies making these bats. Mainly a company called Victus Sports, but nevertheless, it's been in the news this weekend. Some people weighing in on it, good, bad, illegal, innovative. What is it? First off, the Major League Baseball says these bats are legal. They fit the dimensions of what are outlined in the rule book. They're 2.16 inches, I think it is, at the in diameter at the thickest part of the bat. The manufacturers, based on players, where they, you know, again, analytics coming into this, where they where the misses are. So they're moving the barrel slightly closer to the handle from the top, near the top, toward, you know, just slightly towards the middle of the bat, and trying to create a bigger sweet spot for the hitters. I think it's a small sample size. I think might have had more to do with, I'm sorry, Spencer, Brewer pitching and the dimensions of Yankee Stadium, although not all were hit down the right field or left field line. Maybe it was just one of those weekends, but there's 4 Yankees using these bats right now, and a half a dozen others in Major League Baseball using them. You know, the opposite of that is the Twins' Ryan Jeffers using a similar bat, went 1-for-8 against the Cardinals. I don't know if the Twins have a hit yet today. They lost 9-0 against the White Sox. Yes, the White Sox.
It's a good thing UNASH isn't here today.
True, but he'll remember that tomorrow. They play again tomorrow. And nevertheless, these bats, the Braves apparently are ordering some. And my personal opinion, I think it's great. I think it's innovative. I think if not taken too far, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to catch on. Now, Aaron Judge, who had 3 home runs in one of the games, said, "Man, I don't need it. I had 50 every year," which makes sense. But a player like maybe not Jazz Chisholm, because
I think Volpe was using it.
Volpe, he had 12 home runs last year and hit 2 over the weekend. Jazz Chisholm, on the other hand, he's got a decent pop, 20-some home runs last year. But to me, I think it's a nice innovation. And look at golf. You know, you got pros hitting 370-yard drives. You got them hitting 170-yard pitching wedges. You got the average golfer picking up equipment, adding 10, 15 yards to drives and other shots. Why not baseball? And I think tennis is also evolved from an equipment standpoint. So I don't know. He says it's not illegal. Innovative?
Yeah, I think so. If you're not breaking any rules, I don't see what the issue is. Well, I know what the issue is. It's the Yankees that did it. I know that's the sort of biggest reason people are really against it. It's not because they hate the idea. They're more like, why didn't these other teams think of it first? Why didn't my favorite team think of it first? Why did the Yankees have to think of it first?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's smart. I think it's a good idea. And if it is really that big of a difference maker, other teams can do it. Like you said, the Braves are ordering bats. The dude who invented it is with the Marlins right now, or the Mariners, not the Marlins, sorry, Seattle Mariners. So it's open to everyone. It's not like they're completely breaking the rules, hiding it from everyone. I think it's smart. Like other sports have equipment tailored to them to help their abilities or increase their sort of abilities. I think the weekend games may have been more of an outlier as well. I don't think that's going to be a continued hitting performance for him. Maybe if that stretches out throughout the rest of the year, then I think MLB kind of says, all right, maybe we were wrong. This is a little bit wonky, but it's too small of a sample size. As 79-24 also says, maybe the Yankees scored so many runs because the Milwaukee Brewers are a bad baseball team. Look at today. Kansas City put up 10 runs already. I don't know about bad baseball team. I would say bad pitching. I think you could certainly make that argument for the Brewers right now. So I think too small of a sample size. I think it's smart, though. And other teams are free to use the technology as well.
Teams that start with an M, misery loves company, right? Minnesota, Milwaukee. Well, it's only 4 games in. Don't get too excited. It's hard not to, right, Spencer? At any rate, I thought Brewers manager Pat Murphy had the perfect quote. He said, you know what? It's always been the magician, not the wand. It's really hard to hit a baseball. And you got pitchers throwing, everybody throws mid-90s these days. They got splitters and splinkers and knuckle curves and what have you. Why not the hitters trying to gain an advantage? That's what a lot of sports are all about. Wrestling, it's hard to get an advantage of any kind of equipment. But in baseball, again, I think it's innovative.
Yeah, I think MLB is certainly not going to be against it either. If it drives up sort of scoring, I think that creates a more entertaining product for casual fans. So I don't think Major League Baseball is going to be quick to act as far as I think they're going to wait a little bit more, see how sort of consistent this Yankees hitting is. I don't think they have any problem with more runs being scored and creating a high scoring, more home run hitting product for the casual fan, draw some more people in. Again, if this hitting continues for the next 2 months, then I think they'll take an actual look at it and say, maybe we were wrong. Maybe this is an actual issue, but too small of a sample size. The Brewers were not very good as far as pitching goes. There was a lot of factors other than just the bat, I think.
Yeah, Gene and Benton and others, piling on the Brewers. pitching today as the Royals pounded them again today. And thanks for not piling on my Twins, Jane. They are not any better than the Brewers at this point. But you know what? Long season. We'll see. Probably around the All-Star break, I would think, you're going to have your baseball writers and analysts take a look at who is using these torpedo bats. Actually, kind of an elongated bowling pin. If you look at it, I mean, it's not as exaggerated as that, but kind of reminds you of that. But I think by mid-season that we'll take stock and see who's using it, who's not using it, home run rates up, contact rates up, all the different analytics that they look at today. And, you know, maybe we'll find out that this is a I'm going to go check my stock portfolio, which is non-existent pretty much. Victus Sports. I'm not endorsing Victus. There's other companies out there, but I think they're going to be pretty busy.
I would imagine. Again, if you're – it's available to everyone. I just don't understand – again, the biggest complaint people have is the Yankees. Like, that's
exactly.
That's the biggest issue people have with it. I understand the Yankees are the evil empire. Everyone hates that they are always so successful. They're always looking for an edge. But to me, it's just smart. Like, if it can really help your hitters in an era where, like you said, pitching's at an all-time sort of ridiculous, how do you hit on some of these hits, some of these pitches? Get over it. I think it's fine. Baseball is not going to be, MLB is not going to hate an increase as far as home runs, as long as it's not an absurd increase. I'm sure they're fine if it's a slight increase in average, slight increase in home run rate. I think they would happily say, oh, these bats are awesome. They created a better product for us.
If the Marlins had hit 15 home runs, by the way, they had a nice weekend. They won 3 out of 4. Didn't beat Cedar Rapide and Mitch Keller, but nevertheless, if the Marlins would have hit 15 home runs, yeah, then you're raising your eye. What's going on here? But you're absolutely right. It's the Yankees. Ugh, they must be cheating. That would have been worse with the Astros, folks, right? But it's a topic that's come up. I think it's it might be a thing. The rest of the season might not be. You know, if Volpe or Chisholm go 0 for 15 for a while, then we're probably never going to hear anything else about it.
Yeah, again, it's not – I think it's smart. Again, these batters, they're facing ridiculous pitches more so than ever. So if they get a little bit of an advantage, who am I to say no?
Question from 2757. Did they use them in spring training? And I believe they did. I think some players, you know, I'm sure they would have had to experiment with them in spring training. And I think it was probably about that time that somebody said to Major League Baseball, are these legal? And Major League Baseball said, yeah, that's all cool. They also said, let's start every opening day at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the same time. That's another subject. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch. Next Tuesday is our segment with Cal Eldred, former major league pitcher, kind of an old school guy. Remember, I said pitcher. We'll see what he thinks about this new torpedo bat, as it's called. And I think it may lead to more evolution in the part of the bat. I don't know. I mean, you're never going to have aluminum bats in Major League Baseball. That would be a disaster. Aluminum bats, you know, I don't know that they should be. They're dangerous, I think, and make a lot of players better hitters. But maybe on the youth level, it's fine. But, you know, I think I just think that this particular thing is going to lead to, you know, maybe even more evolution of equipment, as has happened in other sports.
Yeah, it's not a unique to baseball thing. You see it, like you mentioned, in tennis, but even like just track, like shoes have gotten so much different now than they were, I don't know, 50, 60 years ago. Like, stuff, the equipment is different. It goes along with the sport. Sports evolve. Fans sometimes are a little bit slower to evolve with said sport. But I don't know. I think it would be, if every team started doing it and every team started seeing just a small uptick in their hitting percentage, home run rate, I think fans would wholly embrace it.
2757, I just went to the Louisville Slugger factory tour, and each player has a bar customized to their preferences. Customized to their preferences. That's true. Even before these bats, 34 inches, 31 ounces, whatever it may be, skinny handle, batter handle. Yeah, all the players have different bats suiting their preferences. But, again, now it's just evolving a little bit more.
I was looking at one of the texts I was reading. Maybe these bats look similar to bowling pins. Let's drill 3 holes in the baseball to make it look like a bowling ball.
No, that's what the Twins and the Brewers are swinging these days. Bats with holes in them. At least the Twins are. I shouldn't, lump the Brewers in there, so to speak. But that's what the Twins were no hit for like 6 innings. It just nobody wants to hear about my misery. So let's take a break, our final break. And when we come back, we'll put a bow on the last day of March here on the Gym Class.
You've been hacked. Your thoughts race. What did they get? What do they want? What does this mean for my customers? My business? Stop. Call NCS. They will have a local engineer on site at your business within 24 hours to help. If you get hacked, call NCS at 319-247-7223. Save it to your contacts, 319-247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
It's spring leaf time, so the City of Cedar Rapids leaf vacuum will be around.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year, you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 24th. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Sign up for CR News Now, or go to the city website for more info.
Welcome back. A minute to go here on the Gym Class before we make way for Spencer on Sports. I'm sure another terrific program there. A lot of interaction with listeners as we've had today, and we appreciate that. Talking about the NCAA tournaments. The Crown started today. I actually switched off at home from watching the Twins to see how Butler was doing against Utah.
I don't
have a final or anything if anybody's interested. But.
Completely forgot that the Crown started this weekend. Again, it was the issue that I said would happen. It's after the Elite Eight weekend. I don't know what the interest is in for that sort of level of college basketball right now when you're looking forward to the Final Four. But if you watched it, good on you.
Maybe Spencer will have a final. I don't know. We'll see. At any rate, I appreciate you joining us today. Scott Unas will be back tomorrow. He'll join Isaac and myself tonight. Cubs baseball, 8:30 pregame right here on KGYM. Cubs and Athletics getting together. Brought to you by Fleming Irrigation. Tomorrow, Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated golf writer, will be joining us. Isaac, thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Gym Class.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on